Good evening and welcome. We're live on air with It's All in the Stars with your host Ingrid Rea and Hassan Zafer, astrologer to the stars. Good evening, Hassan.
Hello, Ingrid. How are you, my dear?
I'm fantastic.
Just got back from your Arizona trip. And
yes,
we are live from Toronto, and this is your astrologer, Hassan Zafer. And this is my host, of course, as she introduced herself, Ingrid Rea. So, Ingrid, we'll first discuss some world events, and then we'll analyze some charts. And then, of course, we'll take everyone's calls also. And if anybody wants free analysis on air, you're welcome to call 1-877-876-5227 from anywhere in the United States. And for Canada, you can call 1-530-876-3223. And we'll talk about relationships or your own chart, and we'll certainly love to do that also. But first, we'll discuss all the different charts of world leaders and actors and actresses. I know Ingrid wants to talk more about what the public loves, which is the film industry.
Absolutely. Yes, the actors. But let's start with the charts right now.
Okay. I have quite a few. I have some very interesting things here. Today, you know, the moon is in Leo. In fact, today, the Saturn is in Leo, of course, the whole year. Mars is in Leo now, and Moon is in Leo today, and Mercury also happens to be in Leo right now. So four planets in the sign of Leo right now.
So Hassan, tell us, what does that exactly mean?
Well, people who have planets in Taurus, Scorpio, Leo, and Aquarius would be much more edgy and more, it's a bit like uncontrollable energy, but it's a very, to me, it's a fantastic aspect. If you have Sagittarius planets, and if you have Gemini planets, and Aries planets, and also Libra planets, then all these Leo planets make very positive aspects in your chart, and they give you a certain amount of a certain glamour, certain dramatic aspect in your writing. And I personally do some of my best writing when Moon is in Leo, because I saw my ninth house, and you know there are these 12 houses in a person's chart, and on the same day, if 12 people were born about 2 hours apart, they'll have 12 different rising signs. And it depends on what your rising sign is. Wherever there is Leo, you have the same element. And I would also like to keep on talking about, you know, when you're teaching astrology, but with some fun, with some music.
Yes, absolutely.
And so that people can understand you. So when we talk about the Leo energy, you remember the song that I played last time? I'm just going to play the same ones rather than different ones each time.
Okay, so this one that we're playing right now is the Leo energy.
See, this is the Leo part. Right?
Okay.
So even just the beat itself, you know, the Michael Jackson song, Billie Jean, that's that Leo theme. And everybody has it in somewhere. It's a side where you can show off where you are. It takes you completely away from any depression. If you have low self-esteem, you should focus on this area where you have, and really interesting that right next to this area is the area that you'll be very self-critical. Whether there is Leo in your chart, it's in a home environment, you know, the way you've decorated the place, for example. All somebody has to do is just talk about your place, how you've decorated, and you start getting into a high. And everybody has some area where you start getting into a high. In my case, it's part of my ninth house. Ninth house is all this astrology and philosophy and God and religion.
So are you,
and,
saying that typically all you would have to do if somebody was in a low is actually just mention something that they actually really, really love, and then all of a sudden
they get high on it. They're willing to sacrifice their food, their sleep, and everything for it. And everybody has it in some area of their life. Yeah, but like, for example, in your case, it's by your third and fourth house. Third house indicates communication. It's also transportation when you drive. I mean, your beautiful sports Lexus. Even the color itself is a Leo color. And even though you're Virgo, but you're Leo planets. And the Harley Davidson, for example, that's all the Leo theme. So when you go outside, you're noticed with that. And it gives you a certain gratification. It's also in your fourth house. The way you, you know, where you live, for example, and the way your place is decorated, it's absolutely stunning. It's like a Hollywood place. That's a Leo theme.
So it's basically to do with your materialistic possessions?
No, it's not material possession itself. It's wherever you are, you'll make it really beautiful.
Well,
like, for example, let's say you cannot stay in just a normal type of hotel. If you play in a place which is really stunning, for example, or really beautiful, it really does something to you. That's a Leo thing. Maybe it meets your class, but that area, you'll also be very nitpicky. Because in your home, for example, no dust and everything has to be really in its right place, etc. That's a Leo theme.
Like
it could also
particular.
Be your Maltese, a little Maltese, you know, that you have that Leo ones.
Yeah.
One is Leo rising and one is a Leo. That's also part of that theme. But you see, your fourth house is Leo and Virgo. So in my case, it's part of my ninth house in philosophy and in religion. And I mean, there's nothing which gets me high more than any aspect of a divine truth. But that area I'm also very critical in for myself.
That's true.
And so if you want to find out which is the area where you get high, find the area where you're most critical, where you're most selective, where you're most ethical. And right next to it, you'll find it. And this is one area which gets you high. And it's not for show-off. You could use your knowledge to show off. For example, that's not the reason you do it. Like you have a beautiful voice, and your PR aspect is your best talent.
And so basically, it's for your own personal gratitude.
Yeah, supposing Leo is part of your seventh house of marriage, then you'll, every time you think about your partner, or when you go out with your partner, unless you're going over the film director or an actor or someone who's in the limelight, that's that Leo theme. If it's part of your first house, then it's your own personality which is your best asset. Like your husband, for example, Joey has Leo rising. So his best asset is his personality. That's why it's very important for him to look his best. So, for example, let's say he puts on 5 pounds or something, for example, it'll physically affect his personality.
And
so
it would also affect his business skills, is what you're saying. Well, of course. I mean, if you're feeling low about yourself, then, you know, your business skills are also...
But if you don't have Leo rising, then it doesn't matter.
Then it doesn't matter.
Yeah, it's not the area that you want to show off or put your best impression. It can also be a bit of an inhibiting aspect if you don't have a confidence in yourself. Like you can become such a... It can give a defeatist attitude if you feel that you have any doubt in mind that you cannot do something while you wouldn't even do it. Like in my case, for example, Leo is part of my ninth house. I feel I'm a very, very good writer, and I write in many different ways.
Which you are. You're fantastic at that.
In neurology and art and music and in science and engineering, I've done all kinds of things. But it's not to my perfection, my writing. Many, many times I could definitely make it much better, but I hardly ever edit even my work. I've published 9 books, but I don't want to make it edited because it changed the content. So I've written almost like 150 books, but it doesn't matter to me, you know, because I don't really care for other people's opinion. And if I became too critical of myself, I wouldn't get past the first paragraph. So I've said, you know, rather than wondering about our own ego, et cetera, we should at least share that knowledge. And because mainly, wherever there's Leo, your ego gets involved.
I see.
But sometimes, you know, when I go outside, you know, I feel so great about just God, you know, like you feel so, it's almost blasphemous to feel so good, you know. That's a Leo theme to me.
Right.
I'm not a Leo, as you know, I'm a Sagittarius.
No. Right.
Yeah.
But speaking of your book, Moon Magic, maybe you can tell our listeners a little bit about your book and your writings
and how easy it is to
become an astrologer in 5 minutes.
That's right, absolutely. Because there's only one column that applies to you, and as I say, the taste of the pudding is that it's eating. And what I want to do is I want to become like an astrological coach, and I want to have almost like an 18-week course or a 10-week course or a 12-week course, for example. In the first week, first of all, I would recommend people to get their charts done, to get their CVs done, to get their reports, the best reports possible, the natal chart, the transits, everything from a really good astrologer. Of course, we can also send it to you. And then decide whether your planets are coming up or down. Let's say Saturn is coming down and you should be focusing more on self and family and children and home. Then that's not a time to push yourself in your career because you will not be successful. And if you try to be, you know, the planets are going on top, and if you haven't laid the foundation that you might be running out of time that you need, you won't have time to go back and publish, and yet you're meeting all kinds of opportunities and editors and publishers. So you need to see, first of all, if the planets are coming up or down. That's very, very important. And that happens, of course, it's like once in 29-year cycle. And then you see the Jupiter cycles, let's say the 12-year cycles, and all of these, and these are where you take the opportunities, and you become like a Sagittarius in those areas, wherever there is Jupiter transiting. So
now, for some people, sorry to interrupt you, Hassan, but for some people that sounds so complicated. So would you be able to describe exactly how
you
can actually...
Well, there's only one column, as you know. Let's say this is from H or L. There are the
That's right. There's always only one column that actually is for you.
Applies to you, based on your date and time. In fact, you don't even need to know the year of birth. This is only just the planets transiting your houses. So just the sun sign, because the sun does not change even for a whole century. It only moves like a degree in a minute. So all you need to know is just the sun sign and approximate time of birth. Once you know that, that's it. And for example, if you're born at midnight, the sun would be at the very bottom of the chart. If you're born at noon, it would be right on top of the chart. So there's only one column that applies to you, and in that column, it shows you these numbers from 1997 to 2010. I've given it so you can see way back in history and the future. That one
wow.
percent time for you to do what? And then
so
you just do the interpretation. That's it.
So you're not exactly saying that you're going to be a fortune teller. However, you can actually predict when your planets are up and when they're down. And then that's how you get
And also, when is the best time to do what? Like, for example, Jupiter is transiting
right.
your third house.
That's
the best
when you make your best
car.
Decision.
Yeah. Like in your case, for example, you're in the third house, you bought your Lexus. Then you went to the fourth house. You went to this beautiful, like that palace, the place that you live in. And the next, of course, is coming to the fifth house. It's the children. And then goes to the workplace. So
isn't that amazing? And that's something actually you told me years ago, 3 or 4 years ago.
Yes,
and
that's
I was
right.
just waiting for that to happen.
Yeah, and if you just see if you see my moon magic, you can actually see it says Jupiter goes to the third house and fourth house and fifth house. And there's no calculation. You just focus on the interpretation of it. And I'm also given, of course, Mars transits and Venus cycles and also Moon. Now, the Moon is very important, and I'm one of the very few astrologers who does it. And because it stays only about 2.5 days in each house, so if Saturn is going to stay in a certain sign for 1.5 years, or if Jupiter is going to be there for a whole year and give you opportunities in that area, let's say Moon goes into the 8th house. Every time it's number 8 in your column, you'll always be into money.
So it always touches.
That's right. Like that's the best time to go to the court, for example. So it's like last time. Remember, you have to collect some big money for your thing.
Yes.
And Moon was in your eighth house, and you called, and then they gave you the check.
Yeah, and it just happened. It just fell into my lap that day. I couldn't believe
yeah.
it. And I didn't even have my book with me, which I hate to admit to you, because I usually carry it with me. It's in the console of my car, but I happened to be driving my husband's truck that day, and I didn't know for a fact. And you actually told me that was going to happen, and it did happen within an hour.
It happens.
Or two, actually.
So the experiences are predictable, you see. But what you do is, of course, your pre-choice. Now, every time Moon goes to the 8th house and you're able to capitalize on it, and when Jupiter moves there for one whole year, then you're able to capitalize on it really well. And you make sure that you have some property beforehand, or if you're applying for a grant, for example, or shareholder's loan, any money that you don't really expect. And right after that goes to the 9th house, which is for writing. For if you want to be famous, for example, let's say Monica Lewinsky, when Jupiter was in the 8th house, and she was in the 7th house and she was involved with Clinton, and she probably really felt that she's going to marry him or something, but that's like a married house. That's a part. And then we went to the 8th house, and after all these scandals, she got like $1 million royalty to write. And she did write. And then Jupiter was in the 9th house. She became like a preacher. She started giving all kinds of lectures and everything. She's actually quite a good speaker. And then we went to the 10th house, and it was the same aspect. It became like a bestseller, one of her books, actually. So whether you're famous or infamous, you're able to, and of course she had Venus and Leo, that's why she always wants to go for the best people, the top people, you want to be proud of. But you can take advantage of it by reading ahead. What's the next aspect coming up and planning for it.
So it's basically just astrology actually helps you to plan the rest of your life if you follow it through.
Yeah, it gives you all the experiences and... you know, so that people can just actually, you know, they can see whether things are going to be happening or not. Or it's no matter if this will happen or that, but it's the best time to do what?
Like it's the best time that it could be in your favor is what you
and
mean.
That's right. And if you do that, it will really, really work out. And
well,
by the way, the number to call. Do you have
go
the number
ahead.
To call?
Actually, no, I do not. I have
okay,
to call
I'll give the number. It's
yeah.
the one. It's 1-877-876-5227, and we're live from Toronto. And if you want to have your chart done or anyone your
yes,
for competitors,
call
or anything.
Dan will answer any questions for you whatsoever. Even if you have a chart of somebody that you want to talk about, for example, a sweetheart or somebody that you're connecting with, you know, Hassan would be more than welcome to read their chart. Correct,
yeah.
Hassan?
No, you know, I've got this absolutely. You know, I have a program in front of me. It's a very interesting one. I've got these. Actors and athletes and kings and queens and And all I need to do is just make one click on it, and I can see the chart instantly. For example, right now I've got Prince Charles chart, and he was born with Moon in Taurus, right on top of his chart. The 10th house represents one of the parents, and Moon represents when you're in the limelight. Moon in the 10th house has a very strong house of publicity, and of course his mother is a Taurus. That's that Moon in Taurus in this case. And he's born with a bit of a dangerous configuration. You know, he's born with a Mars-Uranus opposition. It's an actual freak accident to head and spine. Very similar to Prince Adana, actually, and he was at one point almost involved with the avalanche. And his son was also had the, a head injury or something. But that Mars in Sagittarius is still getting touched off by Pluto. It's not finished yet. By November 2008, it finishes, actually. And but he does have some difficult aspects after actually about 2008. That's one year he had to be very, very careful of health matters, etc. at that time. And but I've said about the royalty that they had to be very careful this June. But that fellow, you know, they used to call him Prince also, you know, the Zarqawi, who was killed, actually, you know. But the whole 60s age group, and the Zarqawi was from that age group also, they're going through that nightmare period right now. For another about 2-3 weeks.
And you don't have to be a prince, correct?
It's about the second week of July, but especially right now, the immune system is down, and it's still like crying the blues, it's just a temporary aspect. But this is the time, if you can be happy now, then you've got the cure for happiness. Because this aspect is very strange, it reduces the immune system's body. It's a classic aspect of betrayal, or it's not a time to speculate, or otherwise you can lose a lot of money, or any of these get-rich-quick schemes or fraudulent schemes. You know, you've got to be very, very careful of that. And because it's very easy to get your anything fall and destroy it. And but in about 2-3 weeks' time, it finishes. So people become overly sensitive and, you know, try not to read too many of these ghost stories and any of these things in the subconscious. I mean, these things which appear on your mind, or watching too many thrillers, for example. And,
well, that can definitely affect just your whole persona of your ability to actually move through this world and this earth and just go ahead and do everything that you need to do to accomplish what you need. And
yeah. The main thing is that it's an obsessive theme. What every day becomes a habit. So drug addicts are born with that, and for a short period, you go through this period. And that's why you just have to be careful of you know, spiritual fraud, or because many of the gurus are total charlatans, you have to be very careful of that.
So you have to be careful of all the psychics and all those people that are pulling you in for.
You know what's interesting is that you know, Prince Charles, he has Jupiter in his fourth house, where you know you move to a bigger place and all, and it's going into his fifth house. This house is level sphere, but also children. When the children travel, and very, very positive for children, of course. And I think William, you know, the younger son, I forgot his name. He's going to Africa or something else, I think. But quite often when you expect children, that's also the same thing.
Are you thinking of Prince Harry?
Harry, that's right. He's the one in the military and all that. That's at Mars being in Sagittarius, very sporting, athletic. He must be very sporting, actually. He's inherited from Prince Charles, actually, because Prince Charles himself has an athletic side. But, of course, he did play polo and horse riding. And he did quite a few things, actually. He's actually quite accomplished, except that he has Venus and Libra conjunction to Neptune, which is inherited from his father, grandfather, pure genetic aspect. It's a very sort of a feminine placement, like it's more suitable for a woman, where they don't like when they hate confrontations and blood and violence. They love peace and fairness, but he has a very strong mind. He has Mercury in the sign of Scorpio, and Saturn in the sign of Virgo, which is a very ethical sign. But that Venus-Neptune conjunction Libra, where you idolize duty, Bill Clinton's born with exactly the same theme, and he would do very well in, actually it's interesting, it's a sign of fashion, clothing, cosmetics, jewelry, furniture.
And we're talking about Prince Harry right now still.
No, right now I'm talking about Prince Charles. He actually came up with a line of furniture. It's a beautiful furniture.
Really?
It was in the Architectural Digest last year, I think he came up with it. Very, very beautiful, yeah. So that's both your taste, and along with Libra, they have excellent taste, actually.
Interesting. Now, I'm actually curious, do you have actually Prince William's chart?
I do.
You do, because he was in the tabloids and was spotted with two women on a yacht not even a month ago. And one was supposedly a girlfriend, and another he had his eye on. So, just curious what's going on with him, Hassan.
Okay, I'll just look it up here. Under the kings and queens, for some reason, I should have him here. Let me see. I do remember the chat, of course. Let me see if I have him directly in there. Okay. I'm going to come out with his chat.
And, of course, Hassan has this amazing technology that you just punch in the birth date and the time of date, where you're born, not necessarily, but if you do have it, that's wonderful. And your chart just pops right up, and it's very legible, and I know that you can decipher almost anything with astrology, actually anything, if I can say that. Am I right about that?
Oh, I accidentally closed the whole thing.
Here I am praising you, and your computers are shut down?
There it is.
Oh, there it is.
I've got like four computers right around me right now.
I know what your office looks like.
His name is Prince William, right?
Yes.
Yeah, of course. I do remember he had this Saturn, the sign of Libra, in his ninth house. And his mother, of course, died in Paris, which to me is like a place of fashion, clothing. Of course, that's exactly his theme. I do have his chart, Prince Arthur William. And he's got Mars out of conjunction for major action. Configuration actually be touched off in about 2 years' time. And that gets touched up at different times, and we just see when the danger part shows. See, right now Mars was in his seventh house, so he must have been thinking about marriage and relationships, and it's not marriage exactly, but like a wife. That's that. Sometimes. Now, he's very vulnerable, actually, you know. He has Venus in Taurus. He's a very loyal person. He's got that exactly from his mom.
Really?
Even though she got involved with a lot of people, but she had Venus in Taurus like him, too.
Oh,
so
this
side of him. And actually, Joey has Venus in Taurus.
Oh, my Joey, right. Really?
Yep. They love good food, and they are such good company with people. And he has Sagittarius rising, like myself, and that's why he's so quite tall, quite humanitarian also, with Neptune and Sagittarius. But that Mars has been the seventh house of marriage. Now, he's probably feeling very lonely or alone because Saturn has been touching off his Venus. But at the same time, he's got Jupiter touching off Venus, where that's why more than one woman involved. But he can actually get involved. He's not a platonic type of person. He's a very physical type of person, so he's got to be careful. And with Jupiter touching off his Venus, this August, September, October, and November is very lucky for him, but also shows restriction. And the restriction could be, first of all, that he might like older girls or very mature girls, and also somehow when you like somebody from a different culture, a different place, like a Brazilian person,
background,
for example.
Or what have you.
The what?
Yeah, or even a different background?
Yes, very much.
Or religion, even? Maybe a different religion?
There's some restriction usually, you know, with that silent theme. Or he likes somebody very much, but she's involved with somebody else. Of course, if you
maybe find she's not. Maybe she's not royalty. Maybe it's going to be a story where he falls in love with a peasant.
Well, you know, when people go through a separation after a divorce, he's going through that from this August to about next July. At the same time, late July, especially August, September, October, and November is very lucky for him to meet the right person also.
Wow.
And then Jupiter is up his Venus. Yeah, so he's going in his... there are a lot of very interesting things happening from about this September to next year. He's got this sudden opportunity, totally out of the blue, from foreign countries, foreign lands, but you also feel very restless under this transit. That he just want to give up everything and go. And he does have the best planets are moving up. In about 4 or 5 years' time, planets to reach right the peak at that time for him. So they're just moving up right now.
Interesting.
But he still does need to be careful of any accidents, things like that, because he was born with that aspect, you know. But I think this may apply to his father, who will definitely have to be careful of both heart as well as kidneys, actually.
Oh. Isn't that interesting? For Prince Charles, you have to watch out for your kidneys.
Yep.
Yes. No, do you have any other juicy gossip on any other royalty that you may know?
Actually, I want to have a look at the Queen's chart. And let me just get her chart. You know, I also want to talk about the filmmakers, actually. There were some really interesting ones. You know, Lee Strasberg, who is one of the best trainers for actors. And even, actually, Marilyn Monroe also went to him. And he had, I just want to describe his chart. He had Scorpio rising. I mean, it is Mercury was in Scorpio. He had a lot of Sagittarius planets, but also Venus, Jupiter, Saturn, Moon, everything in the sign of Capricorn. And I found this very interesting with actors, that you'll find that many actors are very sober. They don't really laugh that much. They keep to themselves, and they are a bit of loners also. Almost all of them are like that, including Angelina Jolie. And these people are almost like pathological depression.
Really?
She's born with that, and Elvis was born with that. So many times when I read in acting and all that, that you've got to put your feelings and all that, I think it's absolute nonsense. The more you can hide your own self, you can portray it in a movie, but in the real life, they almost have difficulty expressing their emotions.
And so that maybe that's the way of them actually expressing themselves.
It's definitely, it's there because they're almost like somebody else's feelings rather than themselves. And even though they're crying for themselves, that playing the role of somebody else, sort of sublimating their own feelings. But most definitely, like that moon in Capricorn conjunct with Saturn on his chart was showing, if this is a woman's chart, it definitely would be pathological depression. Completely, he probably didn't smile that much. He's quite very emotionally quite tough with the actor. That's why they like him. People at the top level, they like that. He had a very wealthy chart to Venus Jupiter conjunction in Capricorn. But all these, I mean, Venus and Capricorn, like it especially, and, you know, so where you hide your emotions.
Absolutely.
So I think they are able to suppress all the emotions a lot and just dedicate themselves fully, but it's not a very balanced aspect. And the more I'm looking at actors' charts, and even my own clients who are actors and actresses, I find that their life is definitely not very normal. They're not very balanced in some respects, I find, you know. Very few of them are. And
really?
But you had that Mercury and Scorpio trying to Neptune, which is a very, very inspirational aspect. He must be an excellent teacher, but a real perfectionist. It's quite a powerful chart, actually.
Hmm.
There's hardly any air aspect there. But very, now, that part, of course, in like Trudeau was born Mercury and Saturn Scorpio. So it's a very sort of philosophical type of aspect also. The Shah of Iran was also born with that. It's like a real dictator chart, actually.
Yes. Actually, I was wondering about Dictator. Actually, Hassan wanted to ask you, we had a terrible loss in the filmmaking industry just recently, and it was Aaron Spelling.
Oh, yes.
So I was wondering if you could pull up his chart. And
I will actually look at his chart also.
Or even Tori Spelling, his daughter. You know, my heart goes out to her as well. And
I remember Love Boat they used to have, right?
Love Boat, I believe a couple of other, I believe it was Dallas.
Quite a few, a lot of other hits he did, actually.
Yes, Melrose Place, of course.
That's actually. By the way, I want to have a quick look at the Queen's chart since I have it here. She has, this is Queen Elizabeth the First, and that's Love Boat, their chart. Yeah, the Queen, you know, it's interesting, Queen Elizabeth the Second has Mercury and Aries. She's a Taurus, actually, but Mercury and Uranus close together. The Mercury-Uranus is quite a brilliant aspect, actually. She's a very, very sharp person. But she has Saturn, the sign of Scorpio, right on top of the chart. And the Scorpio part can also make a person a bit more of the dark moods. And she's basically a very optimistic person. She's almost like a childlike aspect. Like Einstein was born Mercury in Aries, and so was Leonardo da Vinci, who's also Taurus, actually. But she does have a very romantic side too. She has Venus in the sign of Pisces.
Now, we're actually talking about the Queen?
The Queen Elizabeth, yes.
And she's actually romantic?
Yes. Nobody would believe,
wow.
But if you really go to her, if you see her garden, you can see all the flowers. It's really interesting, you know, and she loves all this tea and all that. It's not just a palm. But, normally Venus in Pisces like belly dancing and Arabian Nights and all these things. But I think she's quite lenient. I mean, she has a sort of a dictatorial side to her, but it's not a dictator. It's just that she doesn't have much, like Princess Diana, you must understand that she was really, quite childish in many of her themes. She called that all odd hours, and she was insanely jealous of Camilla and called up like midnight and see all kinds of things to her and hang up on the phone. And she had reason to, because she was right in her thing. She felt that Prince Charles was having an affair with her, and she was absolutely right, and he ended up marrying her, actually. I personally don't think it was a good idea, but she does have Venus in Pisces. What makes it difficult for her is she has Saturn in Scorpio. That's a bit of a tough place when people are very much aware of their own mortality. And powerful people are often born with that. including Bill Gates was born with that, and also you know, Steve Jobs of Apple Computer is born with that. She has a major, what we call an accident configuration, Saturn Mars square, and she has Moon in Leo. That whole package, the T square, is getting touched off by Saturn now from this July to next July. And this is one of the things I said about the royalty having to be very careful of the health. So this could be her. She is more susceptible to any accidents, any spine injuries, strokes. But I thought it might be also Prince Philip, actually, no. Yeah, because it is one of the aspects of heart, actually, they have to be very careful of. And orange spelling.
Yes, let's go back to Erin. Enough with the queen and her romantic ways. Erin's spelling and Tori's spelling, if you happen to have her chart as well.
Whose chart?
Tori's spelling,
oh,
his
Tori's
daughter.
Yeah. Let me actually see the spelling. I'm just going to Google this. I do have it somewhere, actually.
No problem.
And very soon, in about a month's time, we'll actually put on our on a website, actually, what we'll be discussing about, and we will have all these things beforehand. May 16th is the birth date, apparently, for Tori Spelling. May 16th, 1973. She's also an actress, is she?
Yes, she is. She's an actress. She hasn't done too much recently, but she was quite popular in the early 90s.
I see, okay. So May 16th, 1973. Half people don't know what they're missing, yeah? When they could call. I actually have not sent out any newsletter or any emails at all because I'm still developing all these different programs and we're also going to be having a cruise, by the way, next March or April. And we'll have an astrology cruise.
And that's in the year 2007?
2007, that's right, yeah. We'll start counting about a month's time. She has Moon in Scorpio. See, that's getting touched up by Saturn, which is depleting us of health when you feel very sad about one of the parents. She has Sagittarius rising. She has Mercury in Taurus. And a very thorough placement for learning, etc. A very nice voice, actually. Many singers are born with that. But it's a Saturn touching off her moon. I wonder if he died of heart, because that's Saturn being in Leo. And that doesn't give her father.
How was her heart? Would that just mean that her heart is broken because her father
cancer,
passed away?
Yeah. I'm sorry?
Would that just mean that her heart is broken because her father had passed away?
Well, you do feel very sad, that's right, yeah. It is definitely the Saturn moon aspect that has that, yeah. No, it's Arun is A double, I think. It's double A, isn't it?
I believe so, yes.
Yeah. It's an amazing personality, actually, you know, because he did so many of the correct ones. He was born the 22nd of April, 1923. 22nd of April. So amazing how we can see these things instantly now, yeah.
Grab the technology off the internet.
Yep, 1923. Yeah, he had Neptune Leo. See, this is what I was saying, that June, July, that many of the APs, from the age of the golden movies, is not a good aspect for them. That's exactly touched off this chart. And actually, he is also a Taurus, like Queen Elizabeth. He also had Venus in Pisces. Now, this is exactly the romantic side.
Mm-hmm.
And the love boat, of course, makes a lot of sense. Now, he had Mercury in Taurus, like his daughter. Actually, his daughter is born with that too. So looking to us, very dependable. She's not just fly by night type or pie in the sky attitude at all. But very practical, very down to earth, but very romantic. And it's interesting, Pisces is a sign of the ocean, the water. So love boat, I mean, it's exactly his own fantasies coming up, coming true. Like all these people meeting and, you know, having this fantastic affair right on the boat and getting married. And it's a very interesting one. You know, I know a lot of people thought it was real mushy, but I used to love that show, actually.
Yes, so did I. I used to watch it right after with Fantasy Island.
Yes. Oh, the Bond.
Many years ago. I'm sure a lot of our listeners as well would listen to that. I mean, watch that show, of course, side by side, because it was...
Because it was so lighthearted, you know. It took you to a different world, because even if you watch very heavy things...
Absolutely. It almost made you forget your problems.
That's right, yeah. And some very interesting ones. It might be almost corny, you know, but they were true love, like real love stories, yeah. And the Venus-Jupiter trine, it showed the best aspects of people, I thought. The Venus-Jupiter trine, of course, is a very wealthy aspect for him, too, and he was, of course, is very, very wealthy. But and the Moon-Pluto conjunction in Cancer, trine to Jupiter, like all these water planets and Earth, so it's an extremely nurturing chart. He must have been a great person. Very good executability, also.
So he was a great father.
Leo, see, that whole, he was born smack in the middle of that age group of this, you know, these the Age of the Golden Movies, the Roaring Lion. That was that Neptune and Leo theme. At one time, we dedicated the whole show just for that, these type of themes.
And what would we talk about if we did that?
You know, this Constantine Stanislavski. He was also, I believe, he was also one of the filmmakers, but also, like, you train other people. There's another brilliant person, too. So I've got a lot of these actors and actresses, and, okay, so here are the actors right here. Let me have a quick look on some of the people whose charts are getting really cashed off in a negative way. One of them is Jennifer Aniston.
Really?
Till about mid-July. Yeah, till mid-July, you'll definitely hear about all kinds of strange things happening in her life.
Interesting.
She's into some major action.
Well, it's funny that you said that because, so once again, she was in the tabloids and they were speculating that she was pregnant. You know,
really?
And so yeah, it's funny that you said that.
It's not the best point, like you say. It's like an out of wedlock pregnancy. It's like people get drunk.
I believe that it's probably not true. I believe it's probably false. You know, the media is probably building.
Like kind of blues. So about mid-July is not the best aspect for her. So Mars is exactly touching off her. So she definitely needs to be very, very careful, actually. So
now, do you see her staying with Vince Vaughn?
Yeah, she wants to have the commitment now. But the planets are still right on top of the chart, so she's got a lot of opportunities coming up in limelight, so I don't see her just settling down very soon at all. She's
really?
Very, very independent. She's got some very lucky aspects from this October to next July, August. But the next 4 weeks are definitely not very good for her at all. In fact,
gosh,
it's not just for her, but whoever she marries, whoever she is with, they are in danger. So Vince,
really?
Actually, he's a Sagittarius, but because she's Libra rising, a very feminine placement, but she has Venus in Aries. So when she likes somebody, it shows up. But she's not, I personally find, you know, against all odds, Angela Jolie, I'd always said that she'd be a fantastic mother. And she's playing the role really, really well.
Now, is she actually playing it, or is it actually for real?
It is for real, actually. It's a real side of her. Like
it is. Well,
like for all these other children. It's not just an act. And she's definitely, she has that side. She can be, and this is one of the best years for her. For the last 2.5 years weren't. You see, it's known that people can be, when I said the pathological depression and those type of people, it's difficult for them to express their emotions. And their feelings can get hurt without other people realizing it, and also by the same token, they can hurt others without realizing this aspect. I think there, if there's any good family reunions with their father, it would be this year, by about September, October.
Hmm.
And because this is quite a positive year for her, actually.
Now, Hizan, I wanted to ask you a question. It's quite interesting because there's always babies being born in Hollywood. However, I don't know if the listeners or yourself or anybody that you know has actually experienced this, but all of a sudden we're seeing a baby boom in Hollywood. All these actors and actresses are having one baby after another,
because
all the way from
kids, for example,
years to, sorry, go ahead.
You see, the thing is, when you see the people's charts, like Brad Pitt, for example, his chart is very, very dry. But this year, he had Jupiter touching off all his planets, which is like an expansion of home and all that is fantastic. So he's becoming a father and all, and Angela Jolie. Last 2.5 years was very difficult for her, but this year was fantastic. So there's very, very strong attraction, and I said that they'd get along really well, but many of these actresses in Beverly Hills were getting really mad at me, actually, you know? They didn't agree with that at all. I told them.
And you better be careful.
Especially now that everything is coming true, when I said they, they're getting really upset. I mean, she has Venus in Cancer. You can't just change the rules. That, I mean, she does have a nurturing side to her. Jennifer Aniston has Venus in Aries. It's not even, I can never see her like a, I'm not saying she's like a subservient housewife, but she's too independent. It's better for a man. that means an ace, a position.
Yes.
And like Brad Pitt would have never trusted her, this aspect, always would have felt. But with Angelina Jolie, you know, the best picture I saw was in one of the magazines where he is kissing their little baby, and she just looking at him, and without showing any expression of face, but you can see this sort of a proud mother, and she sort of begrudgingly sort of admires him, because he represents authority, and she's rebellious against authority, but this authority she trusts and she likes, and he plays it so well. He plays like a father role.
Yeah.
But that certain feeling of admiration that she had, you could see that right away.
Mm-hmm.
And but she plays it really cool.
Hmm.
And well, it's a real fight. Whereas Jennifer Aniston is only the competition, trying to prove something. I don't see that with Angelina Jolie. I think she's quite comfortable with the children. And but this Mars-Neptune conjunction that Jennifer Aniston has, she'd be a great companion for somebody, but it's not really like a wife chart. It's a typical aspect of, you know, I know quite a few women who have Libra rising, many actresses, and their life is so frustrated, quite often a domineering mother, and the father's influence being sort of missing. The home life is always very barren. They have Capricorn in the fourth house, and for example, you know, you want to, you know, there's a big audition coming up, and they say, oh, I'm sorry, I can't come because I've got to shampoo my mother's hair. Like they would really pull themselves down because of some aspects to do with home and the mother. It's always you find. Yep, with anybody who's vaporizing.
So what would you do to recommend to someone like that? Would you recommend?
Well, what happens here, as soon as somebody comes up with daring adventures, they date someone who is sporting athletic, who drives fast. They always get married with somebody who's sporting athletic and just takes them away. And because the home life becomes like a jail. And most mothers don't even realize that.
And is that a good thing that they marry somebody like that? Because it takes them away from their so-called jail.
That's a lot, yeah. But it's unfortunate that this is what happens, and quite often when mothers don't realize this aspect.
Mm.
Now, America's chart is like that, Libra rising.
No,
and that's why
you
don't want to take babies to work, for example, and they're having the babysitters spend more time with the children than the mothers.
Right.
So that's it's like a complete role reversal. Capricorn in the fourth house, and Cancer right on top. So these people play their role as a father or mother in their career. So their whole emotional security comes out in their career, and the home life becomes like a business. Quite often they work from home.
Mm.
And children are doing their own thing, they are doing their own thing, and they repeat the same pattern all over and over again.
So anyone
who has this very feminine look about them, that they're liberalizing, they always have this problem at home. And they're completely clueless about the nurturing aspect, unfortunately. The children become like a project. Yeah, so these frustrated actresses, quite often, they are born with that, actually.
Hmm.
No,
I was going to say, I thought, no, if somebody is actually being taken away from the home and that so-called jail, is that a good thing? And does that mean that their career actually starts to take off because they're away from that figure, that parental
Well, they shouldn't
figure?
They shouldn't let it drag on for such a long time. They should try to get that independence a little bit earlier. Or they should start to put their foot down right at the beginning if something or something is bothering them, because people start taking them for granted. And it's so easy to play on this guilt, to that Virgo in the 12th house and affect the bladder area later on. And it's really interesting, all these worries that they have, so many insecurities, beautiful, hauntingly beautiful supermodels, but they're so insecure. And they still live with their parents, for example, that's at Capricorn in the 4th house. But quite often, because the home life becomes sort of barren, as I said, and there's an extreme aspect quite often. The mother is like, they should realize that this person wants to go out for the film today to take their dreams. First of all, they're quite often discouraged by the parents that, oh, forget about acting, or you'll never make it, and all that.
Yeah,
and then some man comes along who's daring and dashing and drives fast and all that, and it pulls them out of this whole thing. Usually it's an impulsive marriage. So quite often it may not work when they say, you know, marry in haste, repent at leisure. But they do come out in their career. They play that role of this. Then the emotional security comes out very well in their career. They become very good mothers. And for the fathers also, same thing. For many men, some of the best politicians are born liberalizing, and they normally have their father missing, and the mother being more of a dominating influence, like Bill Clinton, didn't even see his father. Hitler, same thing. Mother was the only one. to start with, they all had Libra rising. And it's almost a bit of a feminine placement, but it does give a strong sense of fairness and justice, which initially brings them in power. If they stay too long, then the Scorpio side comes up and, becomes like a bit of a bully. Or the mean side comes up, actually.
You know, Hasan, really your voice, your voice is so soothing, and it's almost therapeutic. So, you know, I was going to say to any of our listeners that have any such problems or whatever they think in life is a problem, they just wanted to talk to you. Before the show's over, I just wanted to remind the listeners that they could, any time between our shows, call you at 416-497-9000. So once again, that's 416-497-9000. And yes. I'm sure, Hasan, you'd be happy to talk to them about any of the situations that they might have
sure.
in their lives.
But I hope it's not just my soothing voice. I hope it's more my knowledge also.
No, of course. But it's
but
really
you know,
nice
the,
that you
the
actually have
soothing
that.
The aspect of is very interesting. You know, there's the Mercury-Neptune aspect. Quite a few singers have it. When something precious is denied in a person's life, that's when it brings out this side, actually. So there's a definite correlation in astrology also for it. And now I was looking at Winona Ryder.
Oh,
remember the one who used to, or the kleptomaniac who used to, steal all these things? I was watching this biography channel, and I couldn't resist quickly getting her chart, actually. And also I have Claudia Schaefer's chart that I want to discuss, actually. The chart, her chart is Winona Ryder. She's actually a Scorpio, with Mercury in the sign of Scorpio and a square to Mars. The Mercury-Mars aspect, it's also, of course, it's not a criminal aspect, but, of course, Charles Manson was born with Mercury in Scorpio and the sign in Scorpio, but there's a certain loner side. She has Venus in Scorpio, which can make a bit of a celibate nun, as it's very close to 12th house, and so these aloneness in the chart, and she is still getting touched off from this July to next July. I think she's going to be quite a lot in trouble also again. Because
that's
she does
funny.
Have Saturn touching off Mars. It's a major after legal matches, legal hassles. But she's still quite young, and planets are coming up in the chart. She'll reach the peak in about 2 years' time.
And of
this
course.
This is going to be a good year for her later on, that August, September, October, and November. But at the same time, she does have this action configuration of legal matches, of getting caught, and so she's action prone, actually.
Yes, and what I was going to say to you was, I'm sure our listeners and yourself will recall that she was caught for thieving. And
before, yes. But not
yes.
recently, though, was she?
No, not recently, no.
Yeah.
But do you
but
see
I
that
think
actually
from late July, August,
itself?
We'll hear about her again.
So do you actually see that repeating itself in her chart?
Yeah.
Really?
And I think there's aloneness actually in her chart. No, plus she does have this Scorpio theme, what can she get away with, and this rebelliousness against authority. She does have this. It's not that she's poor, you know, or anything.
No.
Happened,
she wasn't
right.
poor when this happened. She just did it. You know,
yeah.
I guess it was just something to do at the time. Which you're right, she is kind
but
of.
But she
loner.
Also has a Mars. But you know, she does have a Mars Neptune square. I just noticed that it's an out of sign square with Mars Neptune, where you get caught. It is one of the aspects of when you justify things or you do illegal things, for example, and you don't think twice about it at all. She definitely has. She's born a Mars Neptune square. Now, in Claudia Schiffer's chart, I thought, what's really interesting? She was one of the supermodels, and she has Venus in the sign of Libra. To me, that's Paris. Like, Libra is a perfect sign for fashion and clothing and cosmetics and jewelry. And she has Mercury in the sign of Virgo. So she'll probably end up writing a book or something at some point. Very well aspect in the chart, actually. So there's a certain nurturing aspect, and she has Mars and Leo right on top of the chart, which is one of the fame aspects. And it's sort of quite a physical aspect also, maybe all those walks that they do and things. It's quite a dramatic placement. Now, she's getting also Saturn-Mars conjunction from this August, late July, August, to about next August, which is definitely one of the danger aspects as well. So she definitely has to be careful, even right now, any legal matters, any driving. She's very good reflexes herself, but Saturn-Mars does indicate action configuration that she's drawn to. Sometimes surgeries. It's every 7 years it catches up. And by the way, this late July, the month of August, September, October, and November is fantastic for certain signs, like the signs of Cancer, signs of Taurus. Even the ones who are getting some hassles with Saturn, we all have both the Earth signs as well as the Water signs, as Jupiter is in Scorpio. So Taurus, Capricorn, Cancer, and like Cancer, Capricorn, they had a lot of struggle the last 2.5 years. But this late July, August, September, October, November, beginning some beautiful aspects from Jupiter, and also the Earth, the water signs, Cancer, Scorpio, and Pisces.
And they're also getting that as well.
That's right, yeah. So, they will become much more positive. They'll become a bit more like Sagittarius. So when we talk about transits, you see, let's say Saturn makes an aspect in your chart, you become like a Capricorn. So each planet rules a certain sign. So Saturn rules the sign of Capricorn. For some people, Saturn is very positive. If you have a fire sign like Sagittarius, Aries, etc., this is positive. It makes you accomplish things. And it slows you down, but you're able to have more focus. But for signs like Cancer, Scorpio, or Capricorn, then Saturn can make them even more, heavy. And, it can become almost like a boring combination. So, and they have more struggle. They get used to that. So it depends on how you use these transits. Like Jupiter aspects, some of the best aspects, criminals are born with that. Like Jupiter-Venus aspects, for example, I was looking at, actually Charles Manson had Jupiter-Venus conjunction. And this aspect is an easy aspect of wealth when you want to learn money, and that's easy. Many playboy bunnies are born with that. I'm not saying they're criminal, but they do take these certain opportunities, offer $250,000, and they'll, completely forget about their family values and all that, and who's watching. And so it does contribute to that.
Now, Hassan, I have a question for you. For example, somebody like Charles Manson, if his mother, way back in the day, let's say he was 3-4 years old, came to you at that time, and you were an astrologer, and she said, "This is my child's chart. What do you see?" Could you actually direct
her? Well, he had Taurus rising. Yes, he had Taurus rising. His whole thing was, he had a real obsessive theme and drug addiction, all that. Yeah, that whole Mars Neptune aspect. But his seventh house of marriage was Scorpio Sagittarius. So he actually was interesting. These women, for example, he wanted to control, of course, with all these Scorpio planets. But if he had the right woman, they may have been able to take him. Because you see, when people think too intensely, that's sort of a dangerous aspect by itself. And that's why I tell people that, not to have this fanatic intensity, do something lighthearted as well. So whenever they think of the Scorpio theme, it becomes so they need to make it milder, something else. Like in his case, I would have suggested for what I would have suggested for him is to help the youth, for example, or children who are in the criminal system, for example, how to help them, because he would have been a fantastic person for saving people, and rather than just abusing power. Now another thing which I find that his chart, when you coincide with Roman Polanski, now Polanski had Virgo Libra in the first house, again a domineering mother, and very sort of a feminine type of placement almost, but the movies that he made, it's almost like these people, they don't have the guts to fight themselves, like be like a man, as they say. I'm just being, because we don't have much time, I just want to finish this off, but there's a real sort of feminine type of way of doing things which doesn't suit a man. For a woman it's nice, they're beautiful and all of it, for men, so he used to come up with all these very strange movies with blood and gore and the vampires and all that, and took his own wife as a heroine in that. So Sharon Tate had this thing, like all the Dracula and all that, and exactly the thing that happened to her with Charles Manson was exactly that. So they almost live out their own themes, unfortunately, But we'll deal with that at some point. And exactly opposite of that theme is, of course, a Libra theme. See, as soon as you hear these minor chords of the A minor, this is perfect for the Libra theme.
Isn't that
By the way, this Libra theme, everybody has it in some area. If you want peace, you go to Indigo Bookstore or any bookstore and read about the Architectural Digest or beautiful fashion magazines. And it's important for it, just to read Vogue. Even I read the Vogue from time to time. And if Katie was here, she was surprised I'd read Vogue. I told her I just love to see, there's a really nice fashion too, with the Architectural Digest. You need to be an all-rounder.
Of course,
Not just in racket that thing. You need a good balance of yin and yang.
So that's what we're talking about. So having a good balance is important. So somebody like Charles Manson had absolutely no balance in their life.
He was focused on the Scorpio sign. Scorpio reminds me of cemeteries and and the life
exactly.
and death and the mafia has too much of power concentrated.
Yes.
And is able to influence that with everybody. It's like being guided by the devil. But you can
yes.
easily direct that. But if somebody came who was helpless to them and needed his help, he would have been fantastic to save them. In fact,
really?
He felt he was a savior.
So he would have been a great doctor.
Christ.
So he would have been somebody that would have been a great doctor.
Yes.
Yes.
He would have been a very, very good researcher, in fact. And
wow.
that's what happens. You know, when people do not, they have a morbid fascination for life and death, and they see the misuse of power by the government and all that, then they become so angry with the system itself. And that's exactly what happened in this case.
So then very quickly, Hassan, just to simplify this, would it be safe to say that if you had his mother come to you, then you would be able to tell her, direct your son into his medical field or into research or development
right.
or something like that?
And then also, that's right. That would definitely help because it was not destined that the person only will be like that. I do not believe in this. There's a tremendous amount. Now, we can quite often predict the person's free choice because his child also was an easy answer. He loves... Like he was a fantastic researcher, but he would have rebelled against the normal system of medicine to do all the homework, etc. He would not have liked that because he liked the easy way of doing things also for the Venus Jupiter.
Right.
So we have to take that into consideration too. But any other philosophy, divine, what he needed was a very good mentor with a powerful mind because that's what he would have appreciated. He found everybody weaker than him. So nobody was able to, and unfortunately in the West, we do not have that philosophical wisdom that we find. They pay too much importance to the man-made laws rather than divine truth. And that part. But if he had gone to the East or if he had gone to India, I think he would have been a very successful guru, eventually.
Isn't that interesting?
He would have been in elements, that's right, yeah.
So there you go. So any parents that may be listening or mentors out there, if you have a birth date, someone you love that you're just raising and instilling some actual...
We have to shut it down, guys, for the evening. We're several minutes over.
497-9000.
And talk to Hassan about this issue.
Yes.
And
till next Wednesday, this is your astrologer, Hassan Jaffer.
And your host, Ingrid Rea, who's coming live to you from Toronto, Canada.
And till next Wednesday, we'll see you again.
God bless and good night. Good night, Hassan.
Nice. You have been listening to BBS Radio, a blogandservice.com production and a service to others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning into our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.